At the moment, I'm working with the Heart Foundation to deliver a program called Active Living Project, and we're trying to help the government to achieve a more active Canberra community with it. So how we can change the built environment to accommodate better health outcomes for everybody.
So that's why I got to meet you at a forum on transport.
Exactly. Well, yeah, cycling, walking has an awful lot of things to do with it. So.
And did you come to Canberra for this job? Or
I did come to Canberra for that job. Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Oh, terrific. So how long do we have you here for, living amongst us?
I've been here now in my third year. And they're just like to have me a bit longer, and the government is very keen of having me a bit longer as well to help them on that agenda. So I'm going to stay for another 2 years.
All right. But peripatetic would be a word that would describe you so far. So look at all the places that you've worked.
Oh, yeah. It's been quite a bit. Like, it's almost a bit like, yeah, nothing when you look at how many places it's been. But I mean, it's good fun, though. I like it. You know, meeting always new people, different cultures, and how they respond, how they interact, and what makes good places there. It's really fun and interesting.
Now, TEDx has the, of course, the reputation of having cutting-edge speakers who throw out and inspire us to think more broadly. What are you going to be saying?
Well, given that I thought I should be not talking too much about the content.
Just give us a little teaser.
I mean, like, I entitled that actually about, I almost would see it as a crusade of coziness and comfort in cities, because that's what it's all about. Because I think every person who is, and we're now having more than 50% of, you know, global population living in cities, I think everybody has a good right to have a really good place in the city, and has to be a good place ideally for everybody who's living in there. That's not just, you know, the working higher incomes. It's all everybody. You know, we're talking here from the 5-year-olds, which can run around in the neighborhood to play outside on the streets. It's up to the older people, you know, the 80 plus, that actually not just sitting in a retirement home. They're also that they actually have access to good services around them, ideally in walking or cycling distance.
People in wheelchairs.
Exactly. Barrier-free access in town centers. It's all part of it. And just if we get actually an environment right, which actually accommodates all people, then we can say we have really a diverse and healthy environment where everybody wants to be and has a good time.
And who's achieved that around the world?
That? That would be almost in the ideal city. And I must say, none of the cities actually does. They all have pockets and islands where they achieve things. And so there you can say what the planners and designers say, they're always the best practice models, you know, districts where it works exceptionally well and where we can learn from. And then sometimes you have to be also cautious, because you can learn from them, but you can never copy that, because what works for one culture doesn't mean it works for a different culture, because people, how they behave, how they're being informed by their built environment determines also how they behave.
Yes, yeah. It was interesting. This came up in the debate about the parliamentary zone yesterday, Greg, and a lot of people saying, well, you should put pay parking in there. Why shouldn't people have to pay? And then you've got other people arguing, no, there's no shops in there. This is a different kind of environment. And then we had, I think Fred rang up to give the example of York, which is closed off and you get bussed in there by a loop bus. But then Ron texted to say, I went there as well and I'm in a wheelchair, and that was not a great setup for me, which was really great to hear all those different perspectives.
And it just shows actually how complex the issue really is and how many things you have to consider in making a wise decision. And of course, because planning is a long-term thing, and there are certain things which you can achieve in short-term, like change of the timing on parking and things like that. And then you have to also get your act together and get the long-term things right, create a public transport system which provides an exceptional convenience for people to have the alternative from day one. Otherwise, people will be exceptionally unforgiving. They will give it once a shot and then they'll say, oh, no, it's not, doesn't provide that service for me which I need to. And then, you know, they're not going to take their consequences. And at the moment, we have a good opportunity in the ACC to get that right. And I'm quite excited, as I said at that forum last week, then to be here. And finally, like, I feel like I'm arriving because things are actually moving.
Do you think it is? Because we've still got saw the Greens make their announcement on light rail. And then Simon Corbell was at that meeting, but he gave us kind of the range of costs, and light rail being way above what rapid bus transit is, BRT, bus rapid transit.
That's right. And ultimately, I mean, it's all It's great to actually get all the best infrastructure as possible, but we have to also be very rational on the thing, what we can actually achieve with that money, what we've got. And ideally, what I would like to achieve is the best efficient transport system, which gets people the convenience and get them around efficiently, and to get that as early as possible. And then, you have to consider the options, which are, it's either that or that, mm-hmm. or is it a combination? Active travel has to be a component of that, because actually people actually have to walk or cycle to get to the bus or to the bus rapid system. So, and then we have to get these spaces in between right as well, actually to create that convenience. Actually, people actually feel pleasant when they're leaving their house, that it feels perceived safe, like when you go out at 11 at night and you're the only one ever there, mm. and there's not even lighting, then that's another issue as well. So it's fairly complex. And
we're a long way from that, aren't we?
Yeah, but actually we're starting. I mean, since I arrived here, we had no lights on the shared paths. Now we're having lights in Sullivan's Creek here. You see the wetlands popping up. So it's an integrated water approach to that. So we create high-quality green spaces in walking distance from people which live now in the inner north. We can get the densification here, right, in Bredon and Turner, where people actually walk now to their workplaces. So we're getting pockets now slowly really good and already right. Now we have to see how we can improve them and get up to a more model which we can roll out over the city. I mean, Canberra is as big as from the footprint as London, but we have 350,000 people here.
And at the end of that forum, and I know there'll be ongoing kind of discussions about this during this election campaign, but the issue that while parking is provided, we're never going to really have, people aren't going to get out of their cars mm. and get onto transport, because they know they can drive exactly. and park for a fairly reasonable price. So what do you think about that?
It has to be a balanced approach. You have to actually, as I said, get the services right, get them convenience in there, and also almost strategically have an informed approach with the people, where they say, okay, that's the aim, what we need to achieve. How can we achieve it together? I know we have to get to that aim, so we need to change something. They can come up with suggestions, then we can get consultants. They have their opinion of the qualified things which are out there, and how we can get there. And then the best usually approach, which worked in other cities around the globe, was that they're strategically reducing a little bit car parking bit by bit, by strategically providing better access for other modes of transport. And
so it can be done.
It can be done. However, it takes time, because it takes 20 years to get there. I mean, some of the transport policy which is in place in Europe, which started in the 80s, where they said, okay, we're not going down the car-centric path anymore. And we're quite a couple of years further back in. And now you see actually how some of these inner cities actually prosper in creating these healthy and livable environments, which everybody likes. Yeah.
Well, of course, we had the presentation from Goldlink, the Gold Coast light rail, and people point to the Adelaide one, and now Perth has made a decision on light rail as well. Mm. Do you think light rail is ever going to happen here?
Interesting question. Yes. You need to have certain conditions right beforehand. And if I would say, there is a certain increase in fuel prices, and the economics actually are going to be a bit more holistic, and the modeling comes out that as it's actually a vital option. I know it has environmental benefits, which are extraordinary compared to that. However, as I said, we have to be also realistic what we can roll out with the amount of budget they have got, instead of
say, well, take a look at what's been on roads.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the other thing as well. And also interesting is what I would like to say is Canberra hasn't seen actually ever a bus rapid transit system. They have with platforms where people step on, so it functions literally very close, almost like a light rail project, just to use the existing infrastructure. And maybe we should actually have, we should be open-minded, let's say it like that, and give it a shot and ask for better holistic economic modeling around the issue, as well as taking as an overlay, the bit of a brave approach and acknowledging the environmental impacts, as well as listen to the community.